If the Senate will please come to order. I think my microphone's on. All right, I'll throw this one more time. There we go. Roll call.
Roll call for Wednesday, February 4th. Anderson, District 2.
Here.
Anderson, District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns. Excused.
Oh, excused. Excuse me.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Escobel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Johnson.
Excuse.
Used. Kinski.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Fladern.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Here.
President Nicholas.
Here.
28 present, 2 excused.
Yeah, I'm going to read all these bills, and so after I do the introductions, you can head down. The prayers with by Father Cronkleton. Let me get your mic on there. You're good.
Let us pray. Lord God, as we gather this snowy morning to perform our duties and to accomplish our part in the governance of this great state, may the humble prayer of St. Francis of Assisi assist us in fulfilling our responsibilities. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may no so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Please join me at the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball. Play ball. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee report. Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 3rd, 2015, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
You've heard the report. Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. So the doctor of the day is Dr. Beringer, and we have a nurse, Ann Rega. Did I say that right? If you, everybody would give her a warm welcome. Ann is from Campbell County Memorial Hospital. We're glad to have you. Today in history, 1905, the construction starts on the Pathfinder Dam. Session status, today is day 17 of the proposed 37-day session. The last days for bills reported out of committee of the whole in the House of Origin is Friday the 6th, this Friday. We have messages from the House.
February the 3rd, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 209, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 147, Wyoming Council for Education, ayes 28, noes 31, excused 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
We're at that order of business of reading reference of House bills, the introduction of them. You can relax for a moment. House Bill number 3, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 3, Department of Insurance Fine Schedule, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Pass the House, ayes 42, noes 8.
House Bill number 3 is assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill number 5, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 5, Property Tax Refund Program Extension, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. Pass the House, ayes 60.
House Bill number 5 is assigned to Committee number 3, Revenue. House Bill number 6, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 6, Airline Companies Assessment, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. Pass the House, ayes 54, noes 6.
House Bill number 6 is assigned to Committee number 3, Revenue. House Bill number 7, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 7, Game Road Kill, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer. Pass the House in an amended form. Ayes 39, noes 21.
House Bill number 7 is assigned to Committee number 6, TRW. House Bill number 8, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 8, Landowner Indemnification, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill number 8 is assigned to Committee number 5, Agriculture. House Bill number 9, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 9, Alternative Fuel Taxation, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. Pass the House, ayes 53, noes 7.
House Bill number 9 is assigned to Committee number 3, Revenue. House Bill number 10, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 10, Education State Authorization Reciprocity Agreement, sponsored by the Education Committee. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill number 10 is assigned to Committee number 4, Education. House Bill number 12, first reading the bill.
House Bill number 12, Game and Fish Violation Restitutions, sponsored by the Travel Committee. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill number 12 is assigned to Committee number 6, Travel. House Bill number 13, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 13, State Parks Use of Fees, sponsored by the Travel Committee. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill number 13 is assigned to Committee number 6, Travel. House Bill 14, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 14, Electronic Citations, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. Pass the House, ayes 57, noes 3.
House Bill number 14 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill number 15, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 15, Restoration of Voting Rights by Department of Corrections, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 57, noes 3.
House Bill number 15 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 16, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 16, Offenses Against Public Administration, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill number 16 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill number 17, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 17, Sexual Assault Protection Orders, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill number 17 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 18, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 18, Drone Protection Act, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 41, noes 19.
House Bill number 18, Protection of Drones, is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 19, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 19, Registered Investment Advisors, sponsored by the Capital Financing Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 19 is assigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 20, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 20, Clarification of Duties of Treasurer's Office, sponsored by the Capital Financing Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill number 20 is assigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations. House Bill number 22, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 22, Disabled Veterans License Plates, sponsored by the Transportation Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill number 22 is assigned to Committee number 8, Transportation. House Bill number 30, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 30, Deposits and Depositories, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill number 30 is assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill number 33, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 33, Workers' Compensation Premiums Experience Modification, sponsored by the Labor Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill number 33 is assigned to Committee number 10, Labor. House Bill 36, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 36, Emergency 9/11 Providers Immunity, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill number 36 is assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill number 37, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 37, Telephone Assistance Program Repeal, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill number 37 is assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 38, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 38, PAC Campaign Limits and Funding, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 45, noes 15.
House Bill number 38 is assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 39, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 39, Aggregate Campaign Contribution Limits Repeal, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 53, noes 7.
House Bill Number 39 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 40, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 40, Insurance Adjusters Portable Electronic Devices, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 60.
House Bill Number 40 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 41, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 41, Barbering License Requirement, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill Number 41 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill Number 42, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 42, Unclaimed Property Merchant Stored Value Cards, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill Number 42 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 44, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 44, Emergency 9/11 Fees, Prepaid Wireless, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 53, noes 6, excused 1.
House Bill 44 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 51, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 51, Excise Tax Well Sites, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill Number 51 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 52, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 52, Sales Tax Exclusion Related Business Entities, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 60.
House Bill 52 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill Number 53, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 53, Minerals to Value Added Product Facility Fund Program, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Pass the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 40, noes 20.
House Bill 53 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 54, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 54, Corrective Action Account Distribution, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 60.
House Bill 54 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 55, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 55, Solid Waste Program Amendments, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 60.
House Bill Number 55 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 57, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 57, Health Insurance Medical Necessity Reviews, sponsored by the Labor Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
Senator Ross.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Interrupt this stimulating.
I thought that maybe you wanted to do this all day long.
Mr. President, I have some students here from Henderson Grade School, which is a grade school that I attended. Mrs. Decker's fifth grade class, if they'd stand up. And members of the Senate, if you'd welcome them, I appreciate it.
Cold, snowy weather.
Thank you. And Senator Ross, I thought by now your school had been torn down. Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Since your momentum is already broke, I would hope that maybe I could have privilege of the floor.
You may.
Well, I have some very special guests here today. And, you know, there was a gentleman that got me involved in the legislature quite a few years ago. His name was Harry B. Tipton. And Dr. Tipton served with distinction in the Wyoming House for many, many years. He was chairman of the Judiciary Committee. My first term, I served on that committee. And it's really with great pleasure that I introduce, and several of you served with him over there in the House. Raise your hands. There you go. And we loved Harry Tipton. And today with me is his son, Robert, and his wife, Carol. And Robert is an Army, retired Army colonel. He served with distinction overseas. He was in the uniform part of the Corps of Engineers. He's been in the thick of it. And welcome, Robert Tipton and his wife, Carol. And think about Harry B.
Bobby's dad delivered me.
Send him back.
It's just one of those interesting facts that exists out there. House Bill 57, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 57, Health Insurance Medical Necessity Review, sponsored by the Labor Committee. Pass the House, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 57 is assigned to Committee number 10, Labor. House Bill 58, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 58, Developmental Disability Service Transition Grants, sponsored by the Labor Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 49, noes 10, conflict 1.
House Bill number 58 is assigned to Committee number 10, Labor. House Bill 60, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 60, Trust Company Amendment, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 60 is assigned to Committee number 9, Minerals. House Bill 61, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 61, Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 61 is assigned to Committee number 9, Minerals. House Bill 63, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 63, Unclaimed Property Advertising, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 53, no 7.
House Bill number 63 is assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill number 64, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 64, UCC Title 1 and Title and 7 revisions, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 54, no 6.
House Bill 64 is assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 65, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 65, State Employees Group Insurance County Employees, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill 65 is assigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 67, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 67, Wyoming Retirement System Amendments, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 57, noes 3.
House Bill 67 is assigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 70, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 70, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, sponsored by the Select Water Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill number 70 is assigned to Committee number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 71, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 71, Nursing Education Program, sponsored by the Labor Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58, noes 1, conflict 1.
House Bill number 71 is assigned to Committee number 10, Labor. House Bill 72, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 72, Volunteer Firefighter and EMT Pension Account, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 48, noes 10, excused 1, conflict 1.
House Bill number 72 is assigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations. Don't say you didn't have any work to do. We're now at that order of business, reports from standing committees.
February the 4th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 136, Expedited EMT Licensing, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Flatiron, Senator Christensen, Chairman. February the 4th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 118, Personal Opportunity with Employment Responsibilities, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 3rd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 133, Bighorn Sheep Relocation. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 4th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 120, Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinsky, Von Flatiron, Senator Christensen, Chairman. February the 3rd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 43, Wyoming Telecommunications Act Revision, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott. No, Senator Case. Senator Case, Chairman. February the 3rd, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 134, Bighorn Sheep Plan, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, Senate File 133, Bighorn Sheep Relocation, has an appropriation and needs to be re-referred to the Appropriation Committee.
Without objection, Senate File 133 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senator Ross.
I may have privilege of the floor again.
You may.
We have the second class from Henderson Grade School, I believe, here. Fifth grade class with their teacher, Paul Hardigan. And as I mentioned before, this class didn't know it, but I also went to Henderson Grade School. And
what was your grade point average?
It wasn't very good. I got in trouble there a little bit. Hope these kids are better than I am. So I'm
let's
sure
hope so. Give them a welcome. We welcome you and hope you do not use Senator Ross as your example. I think we're at that order of business. Bills on second reading.
Mr. President.
Senator Coe.
I respectfully request that Senate File 110 be laid back for one day on second reading.
Without objection, Senate File 110, State Education Accountability and Assessment, is laid back an additional day to be considered second reading tomorrow. I just need some bills. There we go. Thank you. Great. Thank you very much. Senate File 84, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 84, Enhanced Recovery Carbon Dioxide Certification.
There are no amendments. No discussion. Senate File 84 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 102.
Senate File 102, Medical Billing Provisional Providers.
There are no amendments, no discussion. Senate File 102, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 123, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 123, Collective Bargaining for Firefighters.
There are no amendments, no discussion. Senate File 123, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 129.
Senate File 129, Medicaid Share Plan.
Senate File 129, we do have amendments. Would the reading clerk please read in the first reading amendment, or second reading amendment number one?
Senate File 129, second reading amendment number two, delete the Pappas Committee of the Whole amendment.
Actually, I think we've got a second reading amendment number one to be read in before that.
No.
So do you have that?
I don't have it.
I'll give you my copy.
Okay. All right.
Okay, we're going to back up. We're going to reread the first reading amendment.
Senate File 129, second reading amendment number 1, page 3, line 15 through 23.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this amendment does is deletes on page 3 of the bill, section 424402, temporary Medicaid expansion. Mr. President, what this section does is lets them go ahead and almost immediately do a conventional Medicaid expansion. That, of course, removes any bargaining power you have. There was an amendment in Committee of the Whole that said that you had to do that according to the requirements of this article, which is what this bill is. And the Senate attorneys feel that that would solve the problem as well, and it may, but I'm a little afraid. I have two feelings about it. One, if it is effective, then this section is superfluous because the expansion into these populations with the waiver is authorized further in the bill, so you don't need the section. And second, I'm afraid under those circumstances, they might get some fancy legal interpretation that it doesn't mean what we, with the amendment, doesn't mean what we think it does. Whereas if you take it all the way out, they can't interpret that as it still being there. So I think we're better off, Mr. President, taking it all the way out. So that's what this amendment does.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I consider that a friendly amendment. It's true that it could be construed either way, so I'm good with that being removed.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. The amendment that I brought the other day, I think, went part way to try to solve a potential problem I saw. And then having looked at it and listened to my colleague from Natrona County, this is better, so I would support the amendment.
Any further discussion? There being none, the question is on second reading, amendment number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment's been adopted. We're now at the second reading amendment. If the clerk would please read that in.
Senate File 129, second reading amendment number two, delete the Pappas Committee of the Whole amendment.
Senator Von Fladern.
Mr. President, could I have privilege of the floor before I move that amendment?
You may.
On everybody's desk is the demographics of what they assume will be the expanded cohort group. It'll talk about the ages and on the first page, and this was a question that came up the other day, what is this group going to look like? It'll talk about the employment on the second page and the type of employment they have, education attained. The good part, a lot of the good news is that there is a lot of them. 57% are employed as under present conditions, and that they're young. That's a very big, important part, because the younger you are, the less you should cost us. And with that, Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number two to Senate File 129, and will explain this. At the beginning of it, the very top of the amendment, lines 2 through 5, what they're doing is they're deleting all the other previous amendments, including the one we just passed. So you're starting with a fresh bill. Senate File 129, the share plan as it came out. And then page one, on line 7 of the amendment, page 1, line 5, before and, you're inserting the new language. You're creating a Medicaid expansion reserve account, the MERA, versus the PIGRA, versus the LISRA, versus the SIPA, versus... Anyway, this is a new one. And providing appropriations, providing a time limit on the Medicaid expansion, which is the 5 years, providing a sunset date, very important. It will end in July of 21, I believe, no matter what we do, unless we come back to reauthorize. And then it goes into the departments that will be looked at for savings that will occur because of the Medicaid expansion. Page 1, line 10 of the bill is delete the 407, put in 412 because we add new parts to it. That's not deleting 407 necessarily. That's saying it'll continue on to section 412. Page 3, lines 15 through 21, delete and insert. This is where the tall senator from Natrona County, his amendment just deleted that words temporary section out of there. We also delete that section. So that's gone. On 42.4.402, which is line 22 of your amendment, the news on that is that we've just really removed the date. It said after July 15th of 2015, they could start negotiating. We took that out of there. We said the Department of Health shall negotiate with the Center for CMS, basically, for the implementation expansion of the Medicaid program. We added on B, line 32 of your amendment, any decreased expenditures and other programs resulting from the expansion of Medicaid enrollment shall be transferred as provided in. The goal of the transfer shall be to repurpose sufficient reserves to fund this temporary expansion. This is the same similar language that was in Committee of the Whole number one that did pass this body that basically says the repurposing of those savings will pay for the expansion of Medicaid. It is not costing any new general fund money. And that if this temporary expansion beyond the authorization provided in this article, that's line 38 and 39 on page 1, where it tells them that only what's authorized in this article, that money can be used for. And then the next page, starting with 43 on line 1, goes on to talk about the Medicaid expansion reserve account. And if you look at lines 7 through 11 on page 2, it identifies for the governor all funds appropriated to programs in their respective agencies that would become unexpended, unobligated, and available for transfer due to programmatic savings resulting from the Medicaid expansion. Once again, reiterating the fact that it has to be savings that take care of paying for this program, savings this program, this expansion creates. And then it goes down below how they have to identify every agency, every right down to the code of where they're taking the money from, the demographics of who's being served. And then it, on the bottom of page 2, the county major services category, including but not limited to primary care. So you have to identify the providers. All this will have to be identified before the money is set aside and given to the governor to identify and say this is why. And then the governor on page 3, line 2, after section, the governor shall promptly transfer funds identified pursuant to the subsection above that they've identified as being savings from the Medicaid expansion into the Medicaid expansion reserve account. And then on page 3, lines 8 and on, shall be expended only upon appropriation by the legislature. So there's this money sitting in this Medicaid expansion reserve account, but it cannot be used, and you'll see the appropriation later in this amendment, that it comes from that account. It is not expended from any, it has to take our authorization from the legislature, and it comes out of that account only. And this is to cover this expended for the state's share of the expanded Medicaid program, including the cost of administration and the state's share of the match. All that will come out of that Medicaid expansion reserve account. And then we go on to say the reporting requirements, which is really similar to Committee of the Whole Number 1 amendment that we passed earlier. And it talks about the number of eligible individuals, the average cost of service for those. These are all the reports that he'll have to do to Joint Labor, Health and Social Services, Interim Committee, and Joint Appropriations Committee no later than November 1st of every year. And then on page 4, the top says an analysis of administrative costs of the program, including any costs borne by the Department for Contracts Administrative Services. All that has to be reported. And then we go on to say the Medicaid time limitations for the waiver. They were talking about a Medicaid expansion waiver when we talk about this. Is 5 years, which was Committee of the Whole number one language. That has not changed. And the department shall report annually by October 1st to the Joint Appropriation Interim Committee on the expansion and historical and projected enrollment trends and historic and any further expansion. Any continuation of the expansion will also be suggested in that report to those committees. 42.4.4.11 on bottom page 4 is a new section. This is where the persons, not only the participants, but the providers, will know upon enrolling whether their provider or a participant shall sign as condition of enrollment or receipt of any payment acknowledgement that the expanded Medicaid program is a temporary expansion program, that at least 90% of the funding is from the federal government. The state share of funding for the Medicaid expansion comes from reduced spending on other related programs. That'll be right in that disclaimer. And if federal funds for this program are reduced, the program may cease. This will be signed by every participant and provider. And then under B on page 5, all checks and any payment advice will contain that same disclaimer language whenever they're paid or a notice of payment is sent out to somebody. They'll see that same language. And then, of course, we had to include the repealer, which this article is repealed, effective July 1st, 2021. So that's on line 19, page 5. And then we dipped into, I will say, line 21, page 9, after line 17, insert and renumber, is duplicative of what was in, the first page of this amendment. So that needs to be taken out of there, and I'll have LSO correct that. It really is just the same language that was said earlier. And then Section 2, which is your appropriation, is amended. And then we reach into the existing statutes, 9-2-1002, and we talk about what a standard budget means. And then there's new language starting on page 5, line 46. The standard budget for the Department of Health, Family Services, Corrections, and Insurance shall not include any funds transferred to the health care reserve account pursuant to statute 42-4208 for the units for which the transfers were made, but the standard budget for the Department of Health shall include any funds transferred to the Medicaid expansion reserve account pursuant to. What that says is if you took money that was saved in this program and put it in the reserve account, the standard budget will still allow the reserve account to receive that money. But that program doesn't. It's reduced. Their standard budget is reduced by the amount of money that went in the reserve account. So the reserve account can build up to pay as the government cuts back from 100% reimbursement for Medicaid to 95 to 93, eventually in 2020 hitting 90%, that they can then, my 5 minutes may be up, Mr. President. I would ask for part of my next five.
You've already eaten up both fives. The chair has allowed you to extend the 5 minutes, given the nature and the importance of the bill.
Okay, thank
you. So you're close to needing to wrap it up. You're well beyond your five.
I am in my last section here. So what it says is that the money that goes in an expansion account is still part of the standard budget of the health department, so it matches the money that sits in the reserve account, but the program it was taken from does not get that same amount of money. So it's not twice paid. It's only once. That's why this program is paying for itself. And then at the bottom of page 6, line 17 on, is the appropriation from the Medicaid expansion reserve account and not through any other programs once that money's been moved into that. And with that, Mr. President, thank you for your indulgence, and I'll take questions.
Again, be sure to keep your notes. To clarify, the chair did allow an extension of time given the nature and the importance of the bill. You'll have your full 5 minutes on the final discussion, but you'll need to keep notes so that we can make sure that you are the last person to speak on the bill. We're now on the discussion of the amendment. Senator Bebout, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to divide the amendment. Mr. President, the first division would be on page 1, line 2, after paragraph, after the comma, and pull out that language through the remainder of line 2 and on to page 3 through the comma. That's the first division.
Say that again.
Mr. President, on page 1, line 2, after comma, the first division would be the remainder of that line and go on to line 3, page 1, through the comma. So what is taken out?
I don't
Chairman,
understand.
That's not correct.
Are you
I'm
going on, to divide
it's
a sentence?
On, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, let me start over.
Okay.
On line 3, after the comma, the first division would be the BBOC Committee of the Whole Amendment, number 5, and after the on line 4, after A and the parentheses, that would be the first division.
I'm not following you. Are you trying to divide the sentence, or are you just dividing out the BBOC Committee of the Whole Amendments?
Mr. President, I'm dividing out the BBOC Committee of the Whole Amendment, which is dividing the sentence.
Okay. So you're in line 2, you're not taking out the entire amendment?
No. Line 2, Mr. President, has nothing to do with it. It's line 3.
Okay. So you're just – line 3 is division number 1?
Yes, sir, Mr. President. We're going to talk about the BBOC Committee of the Whole Amendment. And, Mr. President, the second division would be starting on the bottom of page 1, line 43. And essentially what it does, Mr. President, it deletes the Medicaid Expansion Reserve account, so it's all of page 2. And on page 3 through line 19.
So as I understand it, division number one would be line three, which is the BBOT Committee of the Whole Amendment. It was amendment number three.
No, five, Mr. President.
Oh.
Mr. President, one more time. The division would be on page 1, line 3, after the comma. You would start there, and the language would be the BBOT Committee of the Whole Amendment through the rest of that line on line 3, and then through line 4, where it refers to Senate File 129, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 5. And
I think
there.
I've got it. So just to make sure I understand, the Committee of the Whole Amendment that was the BBOT is Amendment Number 5?
That's correct, Mr. President.
Okay, so the division number one is a portion of line three beginning after the comma and a portion of line four through the comma. That will be division number one. Division number two begins at the bottom of page one, beginning at begins at line 43, includes all of page two, and a portion of page three from lines 1 through 20. That will be division number two. And the balance of the amendment will be division number three. Okay. Senator Rothes.
Mr. President, am I live? There we go. Mr. President, we have a reference on this amendment on page 6. We have two references to what would be the newly created Statute 424208. Those references are on line 2 and line 5, causing a little bit of conflict with the suggested division number 2 by the majority floor leader, where the internal reference would break the amendment if 2 was defeated in absence of 3 being defeated. So
the chair understands that. The chair understands that. Going back to the sponsor of the division, actually, Senator Scott, if you want to comment on the division as proposed.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, on page 1, line 34, which I think is not included in the division, you have a similar problem.
Okay. The chair understands the problems pointed out. The chair determines that the amendments or the division is appropriate, even though it leaves that account. It isolates that count and leaves it, even though it's referenced throughout the bill. But the divisions do stand alone. But it will leave portions of the bill without the enabling fund. Going back to the sponsor of the amendment, to make sure this is could I ask the conference or the sponsor to renumber the amendments for debate so that the whole of the amendment will be number one, division number two will be the BBOT amendment, and division number three will be the Medicaid expansion reserve account. I think that will provide for a more orderly debate if the movement agrees. Okay, the movement is agreed. The chair determines that the division can be made, even though it does leave a sort of a hanging chad out there, but they do stand alone when read. So now going back, we're on the amendment number one, which is everything except the BBOT amendment, which is lines a portion of line three and portion of line four on page one. It excludes the Medicaid expansion reserve account beginning on the bottom of page one going through the top of page three. But it's the balance of the amendment. It's the whole, essentially the guts of the amendment will be the first item for debate. Is there discussion on the amendment? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, first, I assume since this, as I understand this division, it includes the appropriation. This division requires a roll call.
Chair rules that you're correct in that regard, so division number one, having an appropriation, will require a roll call vote.
Mr. President, I have some reservations about this division. It includes a large volume of reporting, and there'll be reporting coming to the Labor Committee. And the question I have is, okay, we get all these reports. What are we supposed to do about them? I'm unclear on that. It will obviously require a fair amount of work to prepare the reports. What are you going to do with them? I think that's a bit of an illusion as to whether this is really accomplishing anything meaningful. Furthermore, you've got the notice requirement that is over on page 4, starting on line 37. What's going to be the effect of that? I think it probably will have an effect. A lot of these notice requirements, frankly, Mr. President, I think keep the attorneys happy and don't mean anything in the real world. I suspect with regard to somebody who's going to get medical treatment, this one will be of that nature. But with regard to the providers, I think the notice will come through loud and clear that they need to lobby the legislature to continue this program so that it will make it harder for us to get rid of it in the future. So it probably does have some real effect there. With regard to the five-year extension, or the five-year limitation, Mr. President, that doesn't make any difference one way or the other. The feds don't grant these 1115 waivers for longer than a five-year period. That's just normal operating procedure. You're just codifying in our law what they're going to do anyhow. Question that you've got to ask yourself is, okay, suppose you get something meaningful. Suppose you get them to agree to a work requirement. When the waiver extension comes up, they won't be under the political pressure they're under right now to add more states to Medicaid expansion. You think that work requirement will survive? You think anything else we put in here will survive? Or will we go back to a conventional Medicaid? I think that's a question you've got to ask yourself long term, Mr. President.
Senator Landon. Senator Kinski was lit up. You're open. Glad you weren't talking.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I've been trying to keep an eye on him. Mr. President, division number one, as I understand it, does include the removal of this Medicaid expansion reserve account. I think I'm for that, and I'll tell you why. Some of the language in here just gives me a little bit of concern, having lived in a public agency. And
the discussion is on the amendment number one, which is does not include the Medicaid reserve account. So,
okay,
amendment number one is the entire amendment. For clarification, it does not include the BBOT language. That is going to be debate number two. Debate number three is the final debate. Division will be the actual removal of the Medicaid expansion reserve account. Having said that, there is reference to the Medicaid expansion reserve account throughout the body of division number one. So if you keep your discussion to what is left in division number one, you are in order. But that's not the elimination of the account.
Mr. President, I'll save my comments for later. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this goes into a couple of places here, and it really has to do with the issue of demonstrated and documented savings. I think that there's sufficient wiggle room for the department in determining where the savings are in several places in this, in the remaining language, where there's just too much room for mischief from the department, that they can just arbitrarily, I think, and capriciously, as attorneys say, take the money out of one area and put it into the Medicaid system without really any demonstrated savings.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm speaking to the last page of division number one, which is the deleting the Standing Committee Amendment from your Appropriations Committee. And I would move that that be a separate division, Mr. Chairman, to be dealt with separately. And I think that that stands on its own, so the separate division would be, I believe, line 11 through 30, or 29, or to 30. Page 6 of the amendment, which is the appropriation.
The request is to further divide by making a fourth division. The fourth division would be lines 11 through 30 on page 6, which is the appropriation language. The chair determines that is divisible and will be the fourth division. We're on the issue of the division alone, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, parliamentary inquiry, am I right in thinking that then removes the necessity of a roll call vote on your division one?
The chair agrees that now the roll call obligation is for the fourth division, which includes the appropriation language. So the divisions 1 through 3 can be dispensed of through a roll call absent a request for a division, and the roll call requirement will remain for the fourth division, which is on page 6. Let's make sure everybody clear on the divisions for now. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Division 1, which is the rest of the bill, minus those other divisions. The question I have of the sponsor and getting this amendment, and I appreciate all the hard work put together to more or less, it's kind of a rewrite of the bill, actually, is on page 1, when we talk about any decreased expenditure on line 32, in other programs resulting from expansion of the Medicaid shall be transferred, and then we talk about the goal of the transfer shall be to repurpose sufficient revenues. I'm confused. We have offsets. We have repurposing. We have general fund money. If the sponsor could explain how that would work. And the concern I have, Mr. President, is that this language could be utilized to go into other programs where repurposing might be interpreted differently by the department relative to members of this body that votes on these kind of issues. And so you might have money coming from other programs that the department may want to cut. Have we had the debate about it? Do we need to reduce those funds in other areas just to fund this particular expansion? And then in that same vein, Mr. President, the other part of that would be on page 5, lines 5 and 6, where it says the state share of funding for Medicaid expansion comes from reduced spending on other related programs. So, Mr. President, does that mean we're going to repurpose those funds? Does that mean they're offsets? But does that mean we're going to go into other programs and give the authority to the Department of Health to go ahead and reduce spending in what they think are related programs relative to this to come up with the money without legislative approval or discussion?
We're still on division number one, Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the words of the late John Schiffer, folks, here it is. On page 5, lines 8 and 9, says if federal funds for the program are reduced, the program may cease. All along we've been talking about this hard trigger, even though we've had doubts about the hard trigger. This amendment, it puts that responsibility right now. It says it's a may. It's not going to cease. It's a may cease. This changes the whole thing from all the words and all the guidance, all the doctrine, everything we heard out of federal headquarters. This says may cease. This puts it right back in the legislature's thing, and it's essentially a continuation. I'm on and against this division.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. To address a few of those concerns, and I certainly appreciate them, I appreciate the discussion here, but the last one first with regard to the May clause, that's language that's basically put into the signature agreement understanding concept. It's that warning document that the senator from Campbell County talked about. So that's not the binding law. That was still, as before, unchanged, where if it drops below 90%, the whole system goes away. This is that little warning phrase, and if the warning phrase needs to be changed from may to shall, we can certainly do that. But again, this is just what gets written on that document that you sign when you first become eligible, as in, I understand these things. That's not the binding law that governs. So nothing has changed other than the fact that we might have used the words that could be further refined on that little document that everybody has to acknowledge when they acknowledge their understanding of how this program works. That is not the law that would bind, as I mentioned, Mr. President, nothing about that law that would bind our system so that if the revenues fall below 90%, we have the kickout would change under any circumstance. So I think there was a little confusion on what that particular passage was about on division number one. A few other points on division number one with regard to how do these offsets work. This is the heart of this concept of this amendment, as well as a lot of it was in the previous Committee of the Whole amendment. The idea being that if we want this program to remain cost neutral, the director has definitely indicated that we can do so without any additional funds from the general fund, but we have to put a program in place that allows for the director to identify funds that are duplicative and repurpose those funds such that they can be used towards the administrative cost based on the savings that you're garnering from the program. That's something that this body, I believe, has been interested in all along, is not to have additional general fund revenue going towards through an appropriation to this program. So the language here for the repurposing that the majority floor leader is talking about is for that purpose. If the reserve account continues to exist, then there might be more savings in 1 year realized than you need for that first year, recognizing that in the first year we would have a 100% FMAP, so the administrative cost would be relatively low, and we could identify more savings than we need. Those would then go to the reserve account. The novel aspect of this amendment in its concept, and much of it is in Division 1 of this amendment, is the idea that when those appropriated savings are identified, it would go back to the Joint Appropriations Committee for the next budget, and those would no longer be attributed to the original budget, but would be in the budget request for the department, specifically designating exactly what the majority floor leader is looking for. Where did these savings come from? They will now be directed to this savings account that can then be used in the future to offset costs. So that conversation, fortunately, does happen. That was one of the concerns, certainly, of the drafters, to make sure that there was sufficient oversight, and that oversight will come through the budget process and help to reinforce that, provide insight into it, and the reports will hopefully help to reinforce that as well. I'm sensitive as well to the good Senator from Trona County's concerns about over-reporting, but the reality is this is one of those issues where we need to understand it, and we can't have it both ways. We can't simultaneously have insight to exactly how these savings are put into place and minimize the reporting requirements. There's a trade-off there, and we might be able to let up on the reporting requirements at some point in the future once this is running along if the Joint Appropriations Committee and the Joint Labor Committee feel that that's appropriate. But up front, we would need to understand exactly what the department is doing to assuage the concerns that I share with the good majority floor leader on these types of issues. On and for this first division, and one other point, Mr. Chairman, now I'll make that point on a later division. So on and for this first division, much of it is capturing the previous committee of the whole division concept, but trying to recognize that we need that insight into where the savings is coming from, where it's going, and then the maintenance of the effort on that so that we can continue to fund the program in the future, Mr. President.
For discussion on the division number one, for your first time, Senator Perkins and Senator Von Fladeren, you have not spoken your first time on the First Amendment, so we'll let you wrap up the first round, and then we'll try to get everybody else on their first tries. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On division number one, I'm continuing the discussion about program savings and offsets and how this works. I went back, Mr. President, and pulled out my report on the optional expansion of Medicaid in Wyoming, which was presented, December 7th of 2012 to the Joint Appropriations Committee. And certainly there's been some changes, Mr. President, since this came out because the populations and things have changed. But this will give us some idea about the difference between savings and offsets. And to share, if I may, with the body, what we have in the optional coverage group, which is what we're talking about, the optional expansion of Medicaid, these savings come from various programs that are already in existence to service those who are at essentially somewhere around the poverty line. It can be a bit above, a bit below. There's various types of qualifications that are available to individuals who use these programs. But the programs that we're talking about, and keep in mind when we talk about cost savings, it's only savings from the general fund. We're not going to reduce the spending. What's going to happen is we're going to take general funds and move them out and supplant them with federal funds. So the only difference is in these things, we're going to be using federal dollars as opposed to Wyoming state fund dollars. So they're still taxpayer dollars, but they're appropriated elsewhere in Washington, D.C. or elsewhere and not by the legislature here in Wyoming. The programs include and the Medicaid programs include prescription drug assistance, breast and cervical cancer, pregnant by choice waiver, and employment of individuals with disabilities. Those are the ones that are existing in the Medicaid program. The largest of those is the breast and cervical cancer, which would be an offset of, it was estimated about $11.7 million, and prescription drug assistance at $6.2 million. The other offsets in the Wyoming Department of Health programs would include mental health and substance abuse, which is the biggie. That's about $120.7 million of, again, savings to the general fund, but they're still going to be expended. The difference is that these people will now be covered under the Medicaid expansion as opposed to the program that we currently have in the mental health and substance abuse. That was about $120.7 million was the estimate back in 2012. Wyoming State Hospital was another large one, about $11.5 million. Renal dialysis was about almost $5 million. Colorectal cancer screening was about $5.4 million. HIV/AIDS medications were about $2.3 million. And then tobacco cessation was about $6 million. So keep in mind as we talk about these savings that these programs are, the anticipation is that these programs, just the funding will now come through the Medicaid and it'll be avoided that way. Keep in mind that when this happens, that these individuals are not going to go away. Their needs are not going to go away. And if this program sunsets or it drops below 90 and the hard trigger comes in or the sunset date comes and we don't approve this later, those people will be right back and the money will that was previously appropriated, plus whatever it's been expanded to because we have additional people on the rolls, will come back and we'll have to refund all these existing programs. So when you know, for the concept that, it, Mr. President, that there's no harm, no foul, if it goes on and just drops below 90, the hard trigger pulls and we go back to where we were, it'll be great. Keep in mind that now we'll be moving more people back into these programs. The numbers will probably be increased because that's the hope, is that you're going to have broader coverage under the Medicaid program. And it's my belief, Mr. President, when we come back, that these savings that have been identified, we ought to make sure we know where they are and keep close track of them, because at the end of the day, there'll be that plus more that has to go back to reinstate these programs.
Discussion for the first time. Returning to the sponsor, Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. And not being the sponsor of this particular division, but speaking on and for this division, the earlier answer about the word may cease on line 9 of page 5, that also may cease because we go below 100%. That could be in there for that reason. If you need something that says shall cease, if it goes below 90, that certainly can be amended in. But we actually talked about that one line, if federal funds to the program reduce, the program may cease. And we came up with the thought may cease because at 92, or at the, if the legislature just decides to end the program, it may cease. So that certainly can be tightened up, but that's a problem. The repurposing of funds, the majority floor leader was asking about the repurposing of funds and reaching the page 5 and 6, lines 5 and 6, state share of funding for Medicaid expansion comes from reduced spending of other related programs. I think the legal from Trona County had just exactly described what's up. We're going to be saving money through this expansion. It is not less spending, but we're repurposing to keep this program and our match going. We're using federal funds, which are now coming in and paying for that health care of these people that we are. We are not spending any of our own money. And those funds and those savings were out detailed in that early Medicaid study that was handed to us. And so it's repurposing. If it goes away, we're back spending the same money. If those people qualify that are already qualified, see, we're not adding to the rolls because they're under the expansion. If the expansion goes away, you still have the same number of people with whatever inflation or new people came on under standard Medicaid are still going to be there. You're not going to be expanding that population unless some people in that population qualified under the expanded program and then qualified to be on the regular Medicaid, and when the expansion went away, they somehow came in and qualified. Yes, there may be a few. State's growing, we hope. So there will be a few new people. But you're not adding people if the expansion goes away because they only qualify because of the expansion. The other question was the repurposing of funds. They need to repurpose funds. That's that savings funds. The department, yes, nobody we know we can say will do their job 100% just like you and I would and be truthful about everything. If we have doubts about the department, that's why we need to speak to the department and we need to change those people as they come about. I cannot guarantee the department will follow everything you and I think is contained in this bill. They may not. I believe they will, and I believe most of us in here believe they will. So at the chicanery, the whatever the term was used to say that, you know, there's too much room to fool around in here and move money around that isn't, I don't believe that'll happen. All I can do is say I'm naive about that. The reporting aspect, I will say that when we talked to the department, they said, no problem, we gather all this information anyway. So it's already there. They do have to have somebody correlate, but they correlate 98% of this anyway for all the other reports. This is not new information. It exists in the system. And what the interim committees do with it is up to them. We look at our reports, and if it's pertinent to what we're up to, when I was on appropriation, I didn't read every B-11. I'll admit to that right now. I scanned a lot of the B-11s to see for errors in them or just see what the heck money was moving about. But I can say I didn't read every page. and I'm sure not everybody in here reads every page, every report they've ever received, but this is vital stuff. This is something people will pay attention to. Mr. President, I ask you to vote for this division.
For your second time, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and I'm going to particularly concentrate on page 1, lines 32 to 34, where we're going to decrease any decreased expenditures in other programs resulting from the expansion of Medicaid shall be transferred. Mr. President, that is the entrance to a quagmire. And let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Every identification I've seen from the Health Department of where this money would come from has included what a previous speaker described as the biggie, the community mental health system. So the argument is going to be that patients are being treated in the community mental health system on Medicaid. That's going to reduce our need for general fund expenditures there. First thing you have to realize is that you will get an increase, I believe, in Medicaid usage of the mental health system because of this new benefit. But Medicaid doesn't pay full cost. In the hospital setting, it pays about 60% of cost. I don't know what that is for the mental health system. I suspect it's something close to that, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. So you got to figure that in. And then, Mr. President, look at the environment we're in. The basis for our economy is going into a classic cyclical downturn. Price of natural gas has collapsed. Price of oil has collapsed. Coal prices are down, and the whole use of coal is under attack. We're going to see quite a number of people laid off, both that are directly employed in those industries and that service those. Mr. President, when that's happened in the past, the demand for mental health services goes up. And when you think about it, it makes sense. Being laid off increases the stress on individuals, increases the stress on their families, and that exacerbates whatever mental health problems they have. So you'll see an increase in demand in the mental health area right across the income spectrum. Everything from some of our poorest people, who presumably will be on this Medicaid program, to some of our more wealthy people that have had very good high-paying jobs, have been living accordingly, and suddenly their means of support has disappeared. And they may get another job or they may not, but if they do, it may well be at a lower income. So there'll be an increase in demand on the community mental health centers. And the department will come along and say, well, you're getting these Medicaid people, we're going to cut your budget. And the mental health centers will say, don't cut our budget. We're seeing a big increase in demand. And it's from people who can't pay their bills. They may have suddenly no insurance because of the layoff. They may have very high deductible insurance because they had to go to the exchanges, and those typically are very high deductibles. They can't pay. They'll pay on the sliding scale, and there'll be an extra demand in the mental health budget. And they'll say to the health department, you can't cut our budget. And the health department will say, you just did. And guess who's going to get to referee that dispute? Be right out here on the floor when we've got decreased revenues. Other states, Mr. Chairman, have tried to fund programs by savings. And I'm thinking of particularly of Maine and their experiment a few years ago. And it just didn't work because you get into that kind of dispute about what the savings are. And I really think you're by taking this approach, you're getting into a quagmire that just isn't going to work.
Senator Anderson, and then if the Vice President would please come to the chair.
I also rise on page 1, line 32 to 35. As we've heard today in discussion, the money is coming from the general fund now to fund these non-Medicaid expenditures. And what I'm hearing is that the money would not then be appropriated from the general fund, so the savings would be in the general fund. So does this transfer of money come out of the general fund and go into the reserve accounts?
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President. I wanted to clarify something I just did. I didn't want to mislead any. The numbers I was giving you a minute ago was on the original Medicaid expansion that would have started if we had done it back when it was first proposed. It would have been from 2014 through 2020. So the numbers I gave you were that total. What we're really talking about in those offsets, Mr. President, was about 30, roughly when you add them all together, it was about $30 million a year or so in those types of offsets. So the numbers when I told you was $120 million out of mental health and substance abuse. Basically, if you divide that number down, it's closer down to like around $20 million a year. Is kind of that number. It changes, of course, as the matching number changes. But, Mr. President, I just want to make sure that those numbers I thought about that was probably a little bit misleading and to break those down more to an annual basis. Thank you.
Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On and for the amendment, division number one. Folks, let's talk about what we're here to do. And what we're trying to do, first of all, is make a better bill, the best bill that we can make for the final vote on third reading. So I'd encourage each one of you to determine how to best implement this program if it were to be amended. No poison pills. Let's make the best bill that we can for final vote. And then on your final vote, you sit down, you search your conscience, your promises, your constituency, and you make your final vote. So what are the promises that were made? Well, we have the promises made that if we implement this program, that the recipients of these care will be covered, that they'll be better able to get the direct care that they need, and that they can directly sort of direct their care, and that we'll have better health care system. And there will be savings that are going to occur throughout the Department of Health program, the Medicaid program. Those are the promises. So what's the concept? In general, the concept is we have folks out here that do not have a direct access to medical care, and they're forced into the system through emergency rooms, through a variety of cares, and are getting a health care delivery system that is by some measure not as good as it could be. So we say to the folks, okay, you can go to the services where you need to go, and you're going to pay for the services through the Medicaid system, and it'll ultimately be paying for services. So ideally, the services will be given by primary care physicians, by the type of care that gets the folks the best preventative care that we can get. What's the mechanics of it? The mechanics that are contemplated are this. If the promise was made that we can do this, implement this program on a cost-neutral basis, that we can find more resources find resources from within the Department of Health and other programs to pay for it, and that will not be a duplication or eliminative services to this category of people, and further, that we will even incur more savings down the road. Because if we're bringing in $100 million per year, there ought to be close to one would think at least half, I don't know, but there ought to be a tremendous amount of savings. And the Department of Health says there will, and we'll identify that. So how do we do the mechanics of this thing? We say in advance, regardless of whether you're collecting this information, we want you to pay attention. Go out and collect the information to show where the care was being delivered before, how we were spending it. Show where the new care is being delivered. Compare the beginning, the after. But the idea of enumerating the categories of information is to alert the department that these are the things that we want reports on. We want to know. In fact, by providing this $100 million, did we see a reduction in utilization of these other programs? Now, are the services actually paying for the dollars of the general funds that were going to these other programs? Then mechanically, we're saying, once you identify those savings, if they exist, you have to go to the governor, and if you can demonstrate to the governor's satisfaction that, in fact, this program is seeing a reduction in utilization under this program because they're now receiving compensation for these new services, identify those monies, and then sweep the standard budget for that into this new reserve account. Now, the only dollars amount that the department is authorized to expend out of the account is the 10% match together with administrative costs. That's the difference between the 90 and 100%. That's all you can spend. If you do identify other savings, though, you continue to put that into the reserve account. And that was the challenge by members of the floor that said, look, if you find the savings, let's put them in there, let's identify them, let's aggregate them, and put them in the separate account. But you can't spend it without further appropriation. Now, in the end of the day, it may come back, and the legislature may say this was a failed exempt. If it's a failure, we move those funds back. You have the choice to continue the program forward with those reserves. But in the end, we identified the savings, and we began to start looking at the payment by compensation reimbursement by services. And it may change. But you know, folks, if you think that the mental health substance abuse program is perfect, then ask yourself why we're having so much hit on our Title 25 and voluntary commitments. It's not working. It's time to look at a better way to deliver services to the people that need it. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good comments about the need, and I don't think any of us are talking about the need. Just a couple of things for the body to consider. And, you know, this does, in fact, in some ways improve the bill, but it's just hard to follow everything that we're doing here, and we talk about the neutrality, and that's a big issue, and I understand it's only to the 90%. But a big word that was used is if, in fact, these cost offsets are neutral and how that actually works. And I would submit to you, and if we have some issues with other programs that we need to look at how we spend that money, then we ought to be talking about those programs separately. But to do it under the guise of the Medicaid expansion, I think, puts us in an awkward position as a member of the Senate to try to make those tough decisions on which programs we might cut to be able to fill and pay for the money we receive in this. The other thing that I would ask the body and to consider is this is all about 90%. A lot of us have concerns about if it should drop below 90%. A colleague from Sheridan County made a good point about that the other day. He's not here today. But what happens if we go to 50%? You read this bill, it means we opt out. Very difficult to do. So then do we go into the other program? They're automatically cut without us not having an opportunity to debate that. I still think this would be a bad amendment. I would ask you to vote no.
We're out. The question having been called, if you'd like to have your final discussion, we'll give it to you, Senator Von Platern. Okay, the question having been called, we are on division number one, which is the entire vision, accepting the amounts, the divisions that have been removed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Division number one has been adopted. A division having been called for, all those in favor, please stand. 9. All those opposed, please stand. The final vote was 10 in favor, 17 opposed. Amendment number 1 has failed. Division number 1 has failed. That takes us to division number 2, which is the would have been the elimination of the B-bout amendment. It is the portion of line 3 and line 4. Does everybody understand the division that's being spoken to? Is there any discussion on the amendment? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this is the work requirement, and I think it's important that we go back and revisit what the amendment actually did, and I'm speaking against the division that's before us because I want to retain the original amendment. It says, director shall negotiate as part of the waiver and this are a work requirement for applicants who are not disabled. Now let's stop just right there. Applicants who are not disabled, if they are disabled, the work requirement won't apply to them. That's a point that's going to be negotiated. What do you mean by disabled? That'll have to be negotiated with the CMS. So there's flexibility right there. Okay, who are not disabled, which may include a requirement, those applicants shall, as a condition of enrollment, be employed up to 32 hours per week. So the requirement can't go beyond 32 hours a week, but notice the may in there. That's, again, going to lead to where there's quite a negotiation with the CMS. So they may well say, okay, we'll split the difference. Will come with a 16-hour week work requirement. They can split it any number of ways. Another flexibility for negotiation with the CMS. So you've got, with those two provisions, the ability for the negotiation with the feds to address the real objection that the feds will have to a work requirement. Now, they may just be adamantly opposed to any work requirement at all, and then if this provision is not included in the waiver, state shall not fund the Section 115 waiver. If they won't negotiate at all and won't come to some kind of a reasonable thing, then we won't do it. So I would represent the Senate first. This has been described as a poison pill. It's not. Because of the amount of flexibility there is for negotiating something sensible with the feds. And then I will cite a particular example of the sort of thing this gets at. When the Joint Interim Committee was looking into this, not this year, but the year before, I believe it was, we held a took testimony up in Lander on the subject. And Mr. President, we had an individual come to us who wanted us to expand Medicaid, who was an occupational therapist, a well-paying profession in considerable demand, and this individual had decided to retire early, didn't care to work anymore, and was therefore looking for a source of free health care. Why should an individual like that, able-bodied, capable of working in a well-paid profession that's in high demand, come to the government for free health care? That's the kind of circumstance that this work requirement deals with. And I think it's an important piece of the bill, and I would hope that we would defeat this part of today's amendment.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Von Platern.
And I hope the body will resist removing this part of the amendment. What it does, if you look, it deleted 13 through 19 on page 8, which means it deletes all the appropriate work assistance benefits at the time of application, may include an appropriate for the individual participant access to a job search website, resume assistance, service or matching skills to jobs, job training, vocational rehab. That's what this eliminates. It says you have to be working or you have to go to work to get to become an applicant, to become a successful applicant. It also doesn't include students. And so if they're a full-time student somehow qualifying for the expansion, they would have to go get a job because they're able-bodied. That's all it takes out here is the able-body aspect. If you're able-bodied, not disabled. Well, they're not disabled, but they're learning a trade. They're finishing their bachelor's degree. Doesn't talk about single moms that may be in training. Take them as an example of a student or a part-time student, somebody that's moving up but does qualify for the expansion. So they get coverage. Yes, there is those people. We all know them that may not that qualify only through their own not going out and finding work, not wanting to work. That is, there is always a few of those in every program. But the majority of these people we're speaking of, and you saw the demographics right there, are people that are employed, 57% of them. Age, they're young. That means there's a good chance that they're students. Or students are learning either a trade or they're in school. So I ask you to resist this. Leave this amendment alone as is. And we'll move on from there.
On division number 2, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Mr. President, it sounds like a compromise could be met by just putting in the same TANF requirements or definition that we had for work that goes clear back into the 90s, which included students as in the definition of work. And if you just look at that definition, that would probably address the good concerns from the senator from Campbell County and also address the concerns I think most people have about people trying to game the system that are just too lazy to work. Excuse me, Mr. President, I apologize.
We're on the amendment, division number 2, Senator Von Flatern.
My second time, Mr. President. I just do want to say they turned Pennsylvania down just this prior summer for a work requirement in their expansion, in their formal application. So this is a poison pill.
Question haven't been called. We're on division number 2. An aye vote eliminates the BBOT committee of the whole. No, keeps it in. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. Division number 2 having failed, we're now on to division number 3, which is the Medicaid Expansion Reserve Account. Discussion on the amendment, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I divided that so we could have a little more time for some discussion because it's a whole new program, another reserve account. These things have to be very carefully vetted, so I just wanted to have some more discussion from the sponsor or sponsors to exactly what they're trying to do, how to facilitate it, and also, Mr. President, maybe a little bit from the Appropriations Committee on how they see this flowing through and what effect it may have on the budgeting process.
Senator Von Flatern, for your first time on this division.
Okay, Mr. President, I want to make sure this Division 3 we're speaking of.
It is Division Number 3. It begins page 1, goes over to page number 3, and it is the new section titled Medicaid Expansion Reserve Account.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking on Division 3, to remove this out of the bill removes the pot that the money can go to recognize the savings from other programs. This, in my opinion, cannot be removed from the bill unless you want to go to the appropriations and then vote to strip it as the Appropriations Committee did at some point in the future. and then it's an unfunded mandate with nowhere to put the money, nowhere to recognize savings. This is recognized savings go into this reserve account. If I didn't explain it well enough, I apologize to the body, but what it does is it will take actual recognized savings as identified by the department and with an explanation to the governor, who then will use probably the B-11 process to move those funds out of those particular programs into that reserve account. There's no easier way or better way that I can explain it to you, but I would ask that this part of the amendment be defeated, or that we vote for this section to stay in the amendment. Yes, I'm getting confused myself as we go around this. No. This is the only way this whole system can work. So I ask that it stay in there, that majority floor leader, if I can't explain it well enough on the floor, maybe we can do it some other place, and I can try to go through this, how it would work, and get the actual $100 savings here versus 80 here, and this is how this money goes in. But it's all under legislative authority to spend a penny of it. So we must understand that, and to reauthorize the program once again is under the authority of this legislative body in the future, and to end it is under this legislative body. So we have complete control over this account. Thank you.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, I actually like this part of the amendment, but I do have one question. On page 2, lines 11 and 12, I'm not quite sure how to figure out what this is. It says these unexpended, unobligated funds shall be identified using a biennial budget trending analysis, and I'm not quite sure what that is. If you could answer that on your second time.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Ladies and gentlemen, this language with respect to the reserve account is the account through which you demonstrate the cost neutrality. So that from a mechanics point of view, we have to identify savings. And the concern is that if you say, okay, department, you can go out and collect savings to run this program, that how do we know and identify that the savings are ongoing? So if we're taking an ongoing ongoing expenditure authority out of one program and moving it to here, you have to physically be able to take the standard budget for that savings and move it to this account. So in the budgetary situation, if you've got your budget out, you would have one page that would talk about program X. The department demonstrates that there is less utilization of that account because of the new services, so the general fund appropriation together with the accompanying federal funds, if there are any, are then taken from that expense organization or that group into the new expense organization, which is this account. Now, in fact, if there are, and again, we go back to the authorization to expend comes from this account, and that ensures that we have cost neutrality. But there's also a limitation to the cost because you can't fall below the 90% FMAP contribution. If there are more savings, then they will still be brought into the account, and you could actually generate more savings as a result of the new $100 million coming into the program. Now, those savings would, again, be moved into this account so they would be tracked. We would see it. We would know where they are. It would actually bring in the standard budget. Now, with respect to the reconciliation process, this reconciliation will take place in the summer in what's called the Chapter 17 reconciliation. And we've given the department the technical skills or the technical reasons for how you identify these reductions and changes. But the new standard budget then moves from one account to the other. If there are savings in addition to those which are required to fund this program, then they will stay in that reserve account until the legislature comes back and determines how to further appropriate it. So this is the accounting system where we make sure that there is cost neutrality, that any expenditures required to implement this program must come out of this account, and the account is set up so that it can actually draw in more savings if the department could then demonstrate that they've got $50 million savings or more, whatever it is. Then they come back to the legislature and they can show you tangibly, we have now demonstrated savings, they're in this account. And I think by the elimination of the last amendment, you probably have a situation where we'll make sure that other programs are not starved, if you will, for this. But somehow you have to have this accounting urges for the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. You know, as I look at this, the biennial budget trending analysis, to me that doesn't say a Chapter 17 reconciliation. To me, that simply says that the Department of Health compares a previous budget in their budget request to a subsequent budget and budget request, and it's entirely driven by whatever the department puts forth as a budget request. That's a trending budget analysis. It doesn't get into the Chapter 17 reconciliation. And maybe on third reading we can actually get into the Chapter 17 budget reconciliation and put some sideboards in there so we have a demonstrated documented savings, because we still do not yet have that.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and against this part of the amendment. Mr. President, my remarks on Division 1 with regard to the quagmire we're getting into apply to this part of the amendment as well. I will not repeat them. But I think you're going to have a great deal of difficulty with it. Look at the situation we're in. We've got an economic downturn going on. Take perhaps, Mr. President, what will be the easiest analysis, which is that we will shift some people from our child health program to the Medicaid program, and that will result in an increased federal match. You'd think, okay, that ought to be a slam dunk where we're going to be able to identify the savings. But you identify the savings, you decrease the demand of the child health program, but the demand on the child health program goes up at the same time, as it will, because of our falling economy. What do you do? If you switch part of their budget to this reserve account, you can't expand it to meet that increased demand. What are you going to do to service that demand? You're going to get more people in the child health program, presuming they can ever fix their enrollment system, which I presume they will. Are we going to come back and take that money back out of that reserve account? Are we going to appropriate more money? What are we going to do? We're going to have to B11 the money we took out back into the child health program to meet its increased demand? I think this concept has some real workability problems.
Question on the amendment, number 3, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, just one question. I'm trying to ascertain the flow of how this will work. If you go to page 3, subsection C, it says, after the state auditor certifies the dollar amount in subsection B1, we go back to B1, and that deals with the director of the Department of Health. But it says for funds that are unexpended, unobligated, and available for transfer. So my question is just the mechanics of this. How does the state auditor certify a dollar amount? Are those the dollar amounts that are unexpended, the dollar amounts that are unobligated, or the dollar amounts that are available for transfer? Just for some clarification on that.
We're on division number 3, Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, Mr. President. In answer to that, it also says that our forecast will be available for transfer due to programmatic savings, and that's the money that the auditor certifies that the governor on that next page shall move. But I also would not try to predict how the economy in the state of Wyoming is going to go and what the new pressure on the services that are out there and what happens if we actually move people to pay for services. In a lot of these departments, it's a block grant. And so if we go to the providers and say you get paid for services, we will be paying for who they do see, you know, instead of who they assume they will see. Now suddenly they're billing the feds, the federal government, for a lot of the services they are providing. I ask you to support this part of the amendment.
I have a question. Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, in looking at this, you know, Mr. Chairman, I think that if this bill were to move forward and pass, I think that this one seems to me to deserve some serious consideration for a favorable vote. And the reason is simply, if we go back to my prior comments, at the end of the day, if this bill were to move forward, if many of you, I think, probably believe the way I do, when the hard trigger comes, if we don't have this account, my concern, Mr. President, would be that those general funds will just be expended elsewhere. And when we have to go back and put our imperfect but nevertheless the system we have now back into place, we better have some place where we have put demonstrated savings to do that, or we're going to find ourselves in, you know, I question our ability to be show the fiscal restraint and plan for this in the future. And I think that without this, and I'd be interested for more discussion on this, without this, I think we'd be hard-pressed to be prepared for the future or for a sunset if the waiver wasn't renegotiated or if there was a hard trigger that came about. Thank you, Mr. President.
The question having been called, everybody's ready for the question. The question is on division number 3, which is the Medicaid expansion reserve account. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has passed. Been adopted. We're now to the division number 4, which is the appropriation language on page 6, lines 11 through 30. Discussion on the language. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the appropriation. Your budget committee, your appropriations committee, struck the $1.5 million because the testimony was that the department could absorb those administrative costs. Now we're adding them back in, but we're going to take them out of this budget or this Medicaid expansion reserve account. For me, I fail to understand why we even need to have an appropriation when they have indicated that there was no need, that they had sufficient ability to do it without an appropriation. Ask your no vote on this particular amendment.
Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, Mr. President. In favor of this part of the amendment, because we voted to have the Medicaid reserve account, which is a way of showing where the money's coming from and that it's sitting there, and that the legislature has the control on how it's appropriated in the future, that is why there's an appropriation. And it is strictly from the Medicaid expansion reserve account. It's not new general fund money, which is what we were dealing with in Appropriations Committee when this first came in. And the good appropriations chair had posed the question. It was a very good question. Can you fund this out of something else? We don't think you need new general fund. And they said, no, we don't need new general fund money. We can pay for it with savings. And that's what this does, and this leaves us in charge, the Appropriations Committees, in this bill for the first 6 months. And when Appropriations Committee, Interim Committee comes in January, I think next year, December, January, they'll be looking at the 17-18 budget. They'll look at that same thing, reserve account, how much money can you appropriate, how much money you need to run and match what the federal government will do for the first 6 months of 17. Plus administrative costs, and they'll appropriate from, we hope, this reserve account. But that's why this is in here. It's strictly from the reserve account. Question?
The question I haven't been called for, this does involve an appropriation. A roll call is required. Roll call on the amendment, division number 4.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns excused? Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich? Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson excused. Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss? Scott?
No.
Von Fladeren?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 14 aye, 14 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, division number 4 has failed to pass. We're now back on the bill. There are no further amendments. Discussion on the bill as amended. There being no discussion, Senate File 129 have been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 137, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 137, farm license plates.
There are no amendments, no discussion. Senate File 137 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 141, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 141, State Budget Development.
Senate File 141. Do we have an amendment? All right, let's see what we got here. We have an amendment. Would the amendment please be read in?
Senate File 141, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 5.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I'm not sure why you're smiling. This is the amendment you're on with me. And I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 141. Members of the Senate, this amendment was brought to us by staff to do some cleanup language on Senate File 141, State Budget Development. And very quickly, I'll go through the amendment with you. On page 1, line 5, we added and other resources. Page 1, lines 12, where we deleted A, C, and the word and is a cleanup as well. And if you go, Mr. President, to page 4, and you can see on page 4, we deleted lines 21 through 23. There again, Mr. President, and on to the following, on page 5, we took out the word interim, and so we deleted that. We didn't need to have that in there. And, Mr. President, if you go on to page 5, on line 22, after governor inserted and the budget hearings before the Joint Appropriations Interim Committee. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Questions being called for. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1, say aye.
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 Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. Further discussion on the bill?
Mr. President, I would like to, there's another amendment that needs to be, I don't know where it is, Mr. President. I don't have it here. It's on 146?
Yeah, it's on 146.
Oh!
Yours.
I've got a floating amendment on 141, but...
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor to talk about this important amendment.
You may.
First of all, members of the Senate, I hope you all have it. Everybody got it? And Mr. President, we had a lot of discussion with the other co-sponsors of this amendment. I'd be glad to yield to them to discuss the relevance of it and the importance of it. But, Mr. President, what it does, and I think it's really important that we talk about this, because to me, if we use the word state budget development, it's sort of vague and ambiguous. We're not sure where we're going. But if we say simply Phil's law, I think we all get the message. So, I mean...
I hope you all get the message.
But, and the other thing I would add, Mr. President, I was going to call your mother and see if she wanted to refer to you as Phil or Philip. And I didn't get a chance to do that, so I went with Phil. So I'd be glad to yield to any of my other co-sponsors of this really important amendment.
This is Senator Hicks.
Constitutional in here, issue in here. I do believe there's a provision against perpetuities in our Constitution, and I think this probably falls along those lines.
All right. Back on the Senate file, I have a copy, but it hasn't been read in. Senator Perkins, I did not ask it to be read in.
Oh, okay.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, Mr. President, you've been at this a long time, and you have certain knowledge and certain tactics that have been employed in the past. And in recognition of that, I think that as we codify kind of an unwritten rule in the Senate for how many, 20 years, 12 years, 15 years? Albert, long time, longer than I've been here for sure. That's certainly appropriate. And we hope you understand and appreciate this great honor that might be bestowed upon you today.
Okay, we're back on Senate File 141. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 142, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 142, Building Code Regulations.
No amendments, no discussion. Senate File 142, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 146, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 146, Spending Policy Amendments.
We have amendments. The reading clerk would please read in second reading amendment number one.
Senate File 146, second reading amendment number one, page one, line 5-7.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 146. Members of the Senate, there again, brought to us by staff with cleanup language. I'll take you very quickly through it. Mr. President, on page one, on lines 5-7, the semicolon on page 8, we took out the reference to the spending policy amounts because it's not in the bill. We further went on to delete on page 5, we substituted the word amounts with amount and deleted the. And page 14, or page 5, lines 14 and 15, Mr. President, that was redundant language, and the same occurred on pages line 6, 7, and 8, where we put the word amount in, then we put the appropriation shall be, and then we delete it on page 6, line 9. And that was the purpose of the amendment, Mr. President. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions on the amendment? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. Senate File, any further discussion, any further amendments? Being none. Senate File 146, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Do we have any more messages to read in? Okay, just third reading. We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, I do have a consent list, and I move that the Senate approve the third reading consent list, which is follows. Senate File 62, Oral Chemotherapy Parity. Senate File 111, Summary Probate Proceedings. Senate File 126, Water Quality. And Senate File 132, Wyoming Fair Housing Act.
Following bills having been read, I should have asked, does anybody want any of those bills removed from the consent list? If not, the following bills having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 62, Oral Chemotherapy Parity. Senate File 111, Summary Probate Proceedings. Senate File 126, Water Quality. Senate File 132, Wyoming Fair Housing Act. The clerk will please call the roll.
On the consent list, Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout. Burns, excused. Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich. Escobel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Johnson excused, Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rosfus,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Fladern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
On the consent list, 28 aye, 2 excused. Senate File 62, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 62, 28 aye, 2 excused. Senate File 111, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 111, 28 aye, 2 excused. Senate File 126, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 126, 27 aye, 1 no, 2 excused. Senate File 132, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 132, 28 aye, 2 excused.
Try that again. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected the Senate on third reading, Senate File 62, Senate File 111, 126, and 132 have passed the Senate. Have anything else? Messages from the House. The next order of business is messages from the House.
February the 4th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 211, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bill listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 108, Trespass Landowner Liability. Ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. February the 4th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number, third reading, passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill number 103, Merit Career Technical Scholarship. Ayes 47, noes 2, excused 1. House Bill number 128, Notice Requirements. Ayes 59, excused 1. House Bill number 130, Fireman's Pension Account Benefit Adjustment. Ayes 48, noes 11, excused 1. House Bill number 146, Uniform Trust Code. Ayes 59, excused 1. House Joint Resolution number 3, Free Roaming Wild Horses. Ayes 59, excused 1. And House Bill number 137, Child Custody. Ayes 32, noes 27, excused 1. The jacket is being held for reconsideration. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Messages from standing committees? Messages from standing committees.
February the 4th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 145, Hospital Uncompensated Care, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amendment. Ayes, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, Senate File 145 that was just read in has for a little appropriation in it. I ask it be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Without objection, Senate File 145 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Does that take care of all? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that actually clears the desk. My stomach's growling. Oh, wait a minute. Before we go into announcements, Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. If you'll just let me interject here just for a moment before the Majority Floor Leader. I have a good friend from out in the far west who in a couple of months will be celebrating his 104th birthday. Every day he gets up, drives himself to work as a surveyor over there in Star Valley, and then gets on his four-wheeler and goes around the fields with the survey equipment, taking care of business. When he was in his late 80s, he even threw his hat in for a run for governor. Could I introduce the Senate to Lloyd Baker? And Lloyd, would you stand up?
Thank you. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. President, I move that we stand recessed until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your travel committee number 6 will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m. in room S14 to consider House Bill 7, Game Roadkill, House Bill 12, Game and Fish Violations Restitution, and House Bill 13, State Parks Use of Fees.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 12, Rules, will meet today upon adjournment in room S11 to discuss the following Senate Joint Resolution. Senate Joint Resolution 4, Constitutional Convention.
Senator Ross.
Mr. President, your Appropriations Committee will meet. Actually, we'll just try to grab something and take it with us if we can so we can get these bills knocked out. But we have some re-referrals at right now at recess in S11. We'll start with Senate File 127, Transportation and Education Revenue Distribution. Then we'll go to Speed Limits, Senate File 95, and then Senate File 122, Vision 2020, Re-Referrals.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 3 Revenue will meet tomorrow, 30 minutes after noon recess in room S16, to discuss the following bills: Senate File 124, Sales and Use Tax Enforcement; Senate File 144, Microbreweries Minimum Barrel Requirement; and reconsideration on Senate File 96, Special Investigator.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. For a little R&R, your Committee Number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet in 15 minutes. And committee, please understand 15 minutes. We have four bills: Senate File 131, Minimum Wage Staged Increase; Senate File 121, Career Technical Training Grants; Senate File 138, Small Business Innovation Research Matching Funds; Senate File 135, Misclassification Employment Employees Penalty.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to make sure everybody knows, for your dining enjoyment today at lunchtime, that organization that retired people belong to graciously provided some ribs for lunch today, so enjoy.
Thank you. No further announcements. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion is adopted. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.